Monday night, kicking it here on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, and Squarespace just launched the latest version of its platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. Try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere. I'm Adam with Dave and Jamie. You guys, Dave, I'm sorry. You look wiped right now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your hair's all messy. Your shirt's like unbuttoned.
I'm surprised the buttons are right now. In the right hole.
He's untucked. I don't think I've ever seen Dave Richard untucked.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. 8:04 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. The games are done except for Dallas-Philly and, of course, the Monday Nighter, and we're going to go through the major storylines of Week 15. What stood out to you guys this week?
I hate Chris Johnson.
Well, a lot stood out.
Was one of the worst Week 15s in fantasy football.
Let me give you a lineup here, Adam.
You said you don't know that.
Let me give you a lineup here. Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Jamal Charles and Alfred Morris at running back.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have liked my number two, but sure.
Okay, fine. You want to take him out as your number two running back?
Who do you want to go with?
Steven Jackson?
Nah, it's fine. Alf's fine. Alf's a good call. I would have started him as a number two.
Calvin Johnson and Jordy Nelson at receiver?
Yeah, sure. I'm all for it.
Pick a tight end, not named Gronkowski,
about
Kelsey.
Well, the tight ends were pretty good this week.
There were some good
tight ends.
Danelle
was bad. Cameron was bad.
Yeah, but those guys are
Reed
always
was bad. Thursday night, Cook was bad.
Gronk, 15. Owen Daniels, 12. Olsen, 11. Antonio Gates, 11. Kelsey, 9. Walker, 9.
It's going to look really good if Bennett and Graham play to their level and if Witten has a good game. So it could be a pretty good week. It's funny.
Tight end's the only
position. Well, everything else was terrible. Tight end, which has usually been terrible, has been good.
Yeah, I know. It was a pretty low scoring week.
There were still
plenty
of tight
ends. But I mean, think about the studs who are so bad this week. So many bad players.
I know. If you don't have Rodgers or Manning and you're so lucky if you played them this week, if you played Peyton Manning last week. Manning was much better this week than he was last week, 15 fantasy points, but he only had two in week 14, but still. Only 20 pass attempts.
The good news is that Demaryius came through.
Yes.
Peyton also got hurt in the game and missed some of the plays. Just a few.
You know what? Now there's a common theme with the two quarterbacks, Peyton and Rodgers. They both faced the Bills' defense. The last 2 weeks.
Well, I'm not.
There's
starting
no
Derek
chance
Carr.
I'm starting any radio. Don't steal my jokes.
Come on, we're 15 weeks in. I know what you're thinking.
By the way, Adam, do you know which Raiders receiver hit 70 receptions?
Yeah,
on the
I do.
Yeah, you would have won your bet,
James Jones. Eli Manning, right now.
I don't know how many
people
listening remember that, but whatever.
Eli Manning is the number two scorer in fantasy in standard scoring league. 6 points per pass.
Stick
touchdown.
Your chest out there, Giants guy.
Yeah, he's number one quarterback.
Not only that, but that was his bold prediction.
My bold prediction was he would get 25 or more. Number one is Odell Beckham.
I failed on my bold prediction. I said Bishop Sankey would get 10 yards rushing. He only got 8.
Your bold prediction was that Johnny Manziel would get 20 fantasy points.
Well, he was close.
Yeah, he was. 20 yards or 20. He was terrible.
Ugh.
He was terrible, and he makes you fear for Josh Gordon next week.
Guess not.
Where are they at, Atlanta?
At Carolina.
At Carolina. He makes you fear for Josh Gordon. And Carolina's defense is playing a lot better. Major takeaways, anything else? I know we kind of
thank God LeGarrette Blount scored.
LeGarrette Blount scored, and you look at the number, and it was only 7 fantasy points.
Top 20.
Oh, that's not good, but it's still a top 24 fantasy.
He's top 20 right now. He's going to get knocked out most likely by DeMarco, by LaShawn, by
Forte,
and one of the Saints guys. So he'll still be top 24-ish. So he wasn't horrible. Look. He's better than Alfred Morris. He's better than Steven Jackson. He was better than Chris Johnson. He was better than a lot of guys, so thankfully for that.
Heading into the Sunday night game, only 8 running backs with double digits in fantasy points this week. That's it.
How about Alex Smith, 24 fantasy points against Oakland with 297 passing yards and 2 touchdowns?
You thank Niall Davis for that.
Yeah, that's
who
true.
Who was one of those 8
70
running
yards
backs.
On a touchdown catch that he basically was almost entirely yards after catch.
Well, that's how Alex Smith works.
Pittsburgh, we know how bad their pass defense is. Matt Ryan had a good game. Are you picking up Alex Smith for week 16?
I would absolutely do it if you started Manziel this week, because if you started Manziel, that means you were desperate for a fantasy starter. You
Maybe
didn't have anybody
Cam
else
Newton
to go
owner.
To. Or if you're the Cam Newton owner. So, yeah, Alex Smith would probably be my number one priority at quarterback.
Yeah, he's got top 12 potential. The problem is that don't start him over the usual suspects.
Right.
Don't start him over Peyton Manning.
It's almost the same rule as we gave you for Manziel this week.
Well, here's a good one. Eli or Alex Smith next week. Eli's got the Rams.
I think I'd go Alex
Smith. In St. Louis.
I'd go Alex Smith, too.
You know, Alex Smith has thrown for 293 and 297 in his last two games.
He's ramping up.
70-yard touchdown catch for Nile Davis.
I know, it is.
And a huge touchdown catch, 25 yards, I think, for Travis Kelce.
You know, at Pittsburgh, I don't know. That's not doesn't suit him so well. It's bad weather.
They both might be duds next week. But I think
it might be, but, you know, Eli's playing well, at least.
Well, hold on. If you're starting Eli, you're doing it because of Odell Beckham.
Yes.
And I think Jeff Fisher can come up with some ways to finally.
Not if he puts Janoris Jenkins on him. That's a win-win all day.
I don't think they do that, though. I think they're going to keep all their cornerbacks to where they play. They've gotten some good play out of E.J. Gaines. They've gotten some good play out of their safeties. I think, you know, listen, you're going to start Odell Beckham in fantasy no matter what. I think I'd actually go with Alex Smith over Eli, too.
All right, well, we have time to think about that. Meanwhile, Matt Ryan had a nice game even without Julio Jones. Harry Douglas was obviously a very good option, over 100 yards. So Giovanni Bernard, 15 carries, 79 yards, but clearly took a backseat to Jeremy Hill, and it seemed like he got a lot of work late when it was a blowout.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is he droppable?
Gio?
Yeah.
No.
Depends who you have.
I mean, obviously I wouldn't be asking this in week 8, but...
Look, Denver's run defense
is good. 1 week left for many people.
Denver's run defense is good. I think if you're... At this, what do you have to be dropping him for either another DST if you play into week 17. You know, I don't know how many people need to drop him.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, like if you're in a 10-team league and, you know, Harry Douglas is available and Julio Jones is out, then, yeah, you could drop Gio for Harry Douglas.
Right.
That type of thing. If you're streaming quarterbacks or tight ends, you could do that type of move. But you'd probably be dropping the guy that you were starting anyway. You know, like you're dropping Manziel to pick up Alex.
Yeah.
You're going to be dropping Gio. The last thing you want to do is drop Gio on Tuesday and Jeremy Hill hurts his knee in practice on Thursday.
Right.
You know, I would just sit on Giovanni Bernard. Your point is valid. But
he's not a must-start by any means, and he's probably a sit, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but I don't think you drop him. Just in the off chance that something happens. Jeremy Hill trips on the way to, you know, he gets a car accident.
Well, he is fumbling a lot. It's actually, so I probably should have brought that up before I even asked that question. I didn't think about it. But two fumbles. He's got a bit of a fumble problem.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going away from it at this point. They can't. He's had 5 games this year with 15 or more carries, double digits fantasy points.
Does the matchup scare you for Cincinnati next week?
Yeah, it does. Denver's run defense is great.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, you pointed this out, and the numbers bear it out. I didn't necessarily agree with it because I don't think Cleveland's run defense is very good, but they had been containing guys.
Right.
And Denver's been containing guys.
Right, and Hill just came
out
of the blocks.
Denver hasn't just been containing guys. Denver...
They've been shutting guys
entered
down.
Today with the second lowest yards per carry allowed in the NFL, and they faced the team in the San Diego Chargers that entered with the worst yards per carry offense.
I'll tell you what, I think Jeremy Hill isn't somebody you just rule out because of Denver. And a big factor is what used to happen when you played against the Broncos. Peyton would get a lot of points in the first half. You were forced to play catch up in the second half. I don't think that's going
to
happen next week because
slow it down.
I don't think, and I don't know if Peyton is necessarily healthy at this point. A lot of his passes, I know through the last 2 years, a lot of his passes have been ducks. Today especially, they look bad. And he took a hit when he tried to block for C.J. Anderson, and I don't think he's at 100%. And I think this could be, believe it or not, a potentially low-scoring game where both teams are under 30 points.
Well, look, I know, Cincinnati,
maybe under 27.
Cincinnati's played 4 of their last 5 on the road. Every road game, their defense has been great. Their home game was against Pittsburgh. They got lit up. If you are worried about Peyton Manning, I don't blame you. 17 fantasy points in week 11, 36 in week 12, 17 in week 13, 2 in week 14, and 15 in week 15. And now facing Cincinnati, who entered today 6th best against opposing quarterbacks, that's going to be even better after they destroyed Manziel. Mm-hmm. And he threw 20 passes. But the thing is, C.J. Anderson's not running the ball that effectively right now. I mean, for fantasies, he was almost great because he almost scored a touchdown. But just 2 weeks in a row where he's not really running the ball, but they have to throw the ball, and they haven't been. So where do you guys think you're going to rank Peyton Manning going into next week?
I mean, he's still going to be top 10.
But he might be closer to 10 than 5.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you're starting both the guys in the Saints-Falcons game, especially if Julio Jones is back. You're starting Roethlisberger over him against Kansas City.
You going to start his brother?
No.
No.
I'd start Peyton over Eli.
You can start Romo against the Colts at home. I think I would.
Yeah, you're starting Luck over him, clearly. Sanchez has who? The Redskins? You're
Washington,
starting Sanchez
yeah.
over him?
Sanchez over Peyton. I reserve the right to change my mind on something
yeah,
like
sure.
that.
Yeah,
I agree, too.
Sunday night.
I agree, too. But,
Sunday night's
but,
game.
I mean, look, if he's not healthy, that's the biggest thing. You know, there's a thigh injury. You know, he's probable return. He did.
I don't think it's a thigh injury.
No,
I mean, I know that's what they said, reported. But.
You know, Pete Prisco, talking to some people in Denver, said that they're going to come out and throw the ball this week. And they didn't.
No.
You know, and you wonder if Peyton was – look, their drives were good.
Yes.
And
they
so,
left a lot of points off the
yeah,
board.
Right.
So
their especially in the first half
but
before the injury.
Look, you're still starting Peyton over Rivers, who's been terrible. Mm-hmm. You're starting him over Kaepernick. You're starting him over Manziel. Let's not get silly. You know, you're starting him over the two guys we talked about, Eli and Alex Smith. That goes without saying. But the guys who have been consistently good, Ryan – Breeze, for the most part. Cutler would be an interesting one. Stafford. You're starting Stafford over him.
I don't know if I'd start Cutler. Detroit.
No, I agree, but I'm saying that,
yeah,
that the, it's
tough,
in the conversation.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, if you missed it, we were talking about, you know, they left a lot of points on the board. They had three goal-to-goes in the first half, settle for field goals every time.
It's almost a replay of last week.
How is that what happened last week?
Not with field goals, with C.J. Anderson touchdowns.
C.J., yes. And so C.J. Anderson actually had a touchdown call back. He was a half a yard short.
Right. That was the one where Peyton got hurt.
Guys, give me the injuries and the waiver wire targets, and then we'll break down the games.
All right. So the injuries at quarterback, there were two.
There were a bunch. But
three,
nothing that was like major for
fantasy.
Well,
I mean, look, RG3 didn't finish with a great number, but he played well.
And he's got a great matchup.
He's got a great matchup next week. So, but so Colt McCoy hurt his neck. Ryan Fitzpatrick broke his leg. He's done. And Jake Locker hurt his shoulder. So with Locker's injury history and McCoy now being banged up, you have to assume it could be RG3 for the Redskins. It's going to be Tom Savage for the Texans because Fitzpatrick's done and Mallett's done and Jake Locker, and they're not going to get Mettenberger back. So could be looking at three new quarterbacks next week.
Don't forget about Drew Stanton,
who
messed up his knee on Thursday.
Yeah.
And there's a report from Sports Illustrated's Peter King that they might use two quarterbacks next week against Seattle.
Oh, that's
they might start Lindley and then
be great.
Move to a package with Logan Thomas.
That's a Sunday nighter.
Running backs, the 49ers could be down to Alphonso Smith as their starter next week.
Right.
Frank Gore suffered a concussion. Carlos Hyde hurt his ankle. Both were not able to finish the game. And we could be looking at Andre Williams. It's going to be a tough matchup for him against the Rams. But Andre Williams probably going to get a featured workload because Rashad Jennings once again hurt his ankle and was not able to finish the game.
Whoa, Jamal Charles.
Charles is not actually injured.
Okay.
Not officially.
At least that we know of. So that's something you have to keep an eye on. He, you know, was coming in with the ailments that had plagued him from the previous week, kept him out of practice, and then he may or may not have suffered an apparent concussion.
Should the Jamal Charles owner make other plans? You know, he's like Peyton Manning. He's hard to sit, but he's obviously a little banged up. This was a bad game for him. He hasn't had a huge workload lately.
Dude, he's playing Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh.
But their run defense has actually
it's,
played
yeah,
very,
their
very well.
Their pass defense is yeah. so bad.
That's okay. He
I
can
could
catch
see
passes
him catching
too.
A touchdown.
Look, you're not benching Jamal Charles if he's healthy. There's no.
Okay.
Those, but now Davis is available in about 40% of the league, so he better be picked up.
Andre Williams, by the way, I just don't think you want to start him against good defenses. He's
no.
had one good game all year. It was against the worst run defense in football, Tennessee. Other injuries, wide receivers. We had no Andre Johnson today. We had no Julio Jones. We did have DeSean Jackson, he did nothing. Torrey Smith played and did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Said he felt great. That was disappointing.
Yep.
That's going to be the third game this season that the Ravens have had where one of the Smiths did not have at least 9 fantasy points. They're good for one receiver having a big game every single week. Didn't happen this week. Sorry, go ahead, guys.
I was just going to go back to Jamal Charles for a second, if that was okay with
yeah.
you two gentlemen. Andy Reid, after the game, said that they went through the protocol for a concussion, but Charles was complaining about his knee and his ankle, not his head. He took a big hit, so they decided to just kind of take it easy with him. Reed said, quote, "He set me straight when I came over there, and he wasn't able to score that touchdown, and Niall Davis did. He wanted the ball. He wanted to be back in there." So then he went back in, and then he ended up taking him out when they got the lead.
So you think he's okay?
Yeah, I'm reading some more quotes from Andy
Reid.
Well,
keep in mind, this is a guy that earlier this season suffered an apparent concussion and managed to talk his way through the protocol or out of the protocol on the sideline and got back in the game.
And didn't he have a,
San Diego,
quote, high ankle sprain that healed in like a week? That was him?
That was actually Andy Reid saying the wrong thing. Okay. I don't think that was him.
It wasn't Andy Reid having a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
So who are we looking at on waivers?
It's not a great group right now. Quarterbacks, Alex Smith's probably the best of the bunch. You know, we'll see what happens.
Kyle Orton against Oakland. Is that interesting?
He's been good, bad, you know, so next week would be good.
Okay.
I would imagine they run the ball a lot in that matchup. Alex Smith, a quarterback. Running backs are interesting because there's not a lot of sexy guys. Alphonso Smith would be interesting against San Diego, but their run defense has been good. Doug Martin, fairly decent matchup against Green Bay. Their run defense has been hit or miss this year. He's coming off a good game. Matt Asiata, good matchup against the Dolphins. He scored a touchdown against Detroit. You have to assume he'd get some goal line opportunities there. The receiver position, Harry Douglas would be the one you want to look at the most.
But that's if Julio is still out. If Julio ends up playing, I think that really hurts.
Without a doubt.
Harry Douglas.
But Tuesday night, you know, you're going to probably have to pick up Harry Douglas at this point.
You have to.
If you haven't already.
At the very least. Yeah.
I think everybody who has him. I think everybody who has Julio Jones already picked up Harry Jones.
Well, look, I mean, again, 10-team leagues, I'll go back to that. You know, people looking at it. And at this point, you know, you talk about dropping Geo. You drop Josh Gordon at this point for Harry Douglas if there's not keeper league.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to. I'd start Harry Douglas.
It's
over
the same
him,
point.
Yeah.
It's the same point, though. If you have to make a decision along those lines.
I have almost no faith in Gio Bernard having a good game next week.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying,
Gordon, right. I think it could happen.
Yeah, you're right on that part. But I'm saying, you know, if you're not playing somebody next week, you pick up a guy that you could potentially play.
I can't trust Josh Gordon next week.
No, but I still don't want to let someone else start him just on the
other. That's fine.
I shouldn't have said Josh Gordon. I apologize. No,
don't worry.
Yeah, sorry.
There's always some week 16 Saturday night drops or Friday night drops to get you the good luck players that might be on the waiver wire in your league, like Tim Tebow, just to, you know, give you that good karma for the rest of the way.
Well, the Bills,
there's probably some other sites that you can't pick up Tim Tebow.
Maybe
the Bills DST. Maybe not. Is obviously someone that you're going to want to target. They're at Oakland. They just played very well against Green Bay, and I have a feeling they're not that owned since they played Green Bay this week and nobody.
Yeah, a lot of people dropped
them
prior to last week because it was Denver.
Yeah, and they did well. So, well, did they do well
last week? No, but they did a good job in just keeping. But
they held their own. They're going to be fine at Oakland.
Forget about that. The point would be people dropped them because nobody wanted to use them against the Broncos.
So you might want to target them. Giants DST. They have something like 23 sacks in their last three games. They're just getting after the quarterback. And they face
I'm
going to
try and get the Seahawks DST against Ryan Lindley. That's going to be my goal on waivers.
Good luck.
You can just start at number two in your DST rankings, I would say. All right, let's get into the games, guys. Ready?
Number three.
The
Bills will be number two.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I was going to say if the Eagles were at home against Washington, maybe. But
I'll take the Bills against the Raiders.
Who does Jacksonville play next week?
It's just the West Coast thing.
Oh, yeah, you can't use the Titans.
Okay, I like it.
Maybe you can.
Ben Roethlisberger, 360 yards, no touchdowns. Frustrating because he played really well.
He played great. And Dave and I, we were going over our start-sit suggestions for the Sunday morning show on video.
Yeah.
And I had start Roethlisberger over Russell Wilson and Philip Rivers. And he was better than both those guys with 14 fantasy points. It was a bad week for quarterbacks.
It was a really bad week for quarterbacks. So, you know, he played well. I think you can be encouraged by the fact that he completed a lot of his passes. He had a great game, just didn't throw the touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell, I mean, the best type of players in fantasy, are running backs who catch passes. Because even when he has 20 for 47, he still scored two touchdowns and had 72 receiving yards. He's amazing. And Heath Miller is becoming kind of reliable right now.
Yep. Assuming DeMarco Murray is back with Dallas. Who's the number one overall pick next year?
I would like to see Pittsburgh miss the playoffs as a Bell owner because the workload concerns me a little bit.
He's young, though.
What's he at now?
I don't know.
He's
got
to be close to 400.
Who's number one?
It's hard to argue.
I think it's Bell. Could be Lacy, though. Lacy's been great, but he's so big that I worry about injuries, so I go Bell.
I would take Bell over Lacy. I don't know if I go Bell over a healthy Jamaal Charles yet, but I'm pretty close to that.
It's tricky. I think Bell's the answer. I'm nervous to go with DeMarco Murray. I'm nervous to go with Marshawn Lynch because of the factor of wear and tear. And it means I got to go and I got to get the handcuff for him.
Well, Lynch is not going to be in Seattle next year.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Lynch might not even play next year based on what he's talking
about. Where would you consider Adrian Peterson in either Dallas or Seattle if he's there?
If he's on either team and he's sharing.
No, not sharing. Starter in Seattle, starter in Dallas. Both guys are
gone. I think he can still squeak out one more year.
Yeah, seriously.
Because he didn't play much this year.
Early second round.
So motivated.
He should be.
Oh, see, the thing that I'm – Dave and I talked about this a little bit last week. The receiver position is so deep. It's so incredibly deep. I don't know why you would need to take somebody in the first round. Because look what happened this year. Calvin was great when he played, but he was bad.
Kind of an anomaly.
But is it?
I think so.
But I mean, think about it. Odell Beckham is top 10 worthy.
He's the number two overall. It's Le'Veon Bell, then it's Odell Beckham.
Mike Evans is top 15 worthy. Benjamin's going to get better. Watkins is there, going to get better.
It's deeper for sure.
Well, the rookie class made the position extremely deep.
Right. And it's only going to get better.
Le'Veon's at about 340 touches. And the carries are still just over 250.
That's the key number there.
Right. Remember, when he catches the ball, doesn't have the same impact.
T.Y. Hilton, Gordon will be better.
Yeah,
Greg Jennings.
A.J. Green. I mean, look at all these guys.
I know. But I still think those elite receivers are hard to find, extremely consistent players. The running backs did pretty well this year, the ones that you drafted early, right? They did pretty well.
I mean, McCoy's still going to finish with good numbers despite the week-to-week inconsistency.
Peterson was a dud. Right. You know, it's not exactly his fault.
Foster having a bounce-back year was fantastic.
It was his fault. It wasn't his performance.
Foster having a bounce-back year was fantastic.
Marshawn Lynch was really good. Yep. Monte Ball was the big bust, but DeMarco Murray stayed healthy. So, I don't know. It's like everything I expected to happen didn't happen this year. I thought the running backs would be the volatile position and the receivers wouldn't be, and it was the opposite.
He's obviously a first-round pick, and I think he's top five, but how early we take Gronk?
First-round pick.
No, that's my...
late. Mid to late.
Yeah, like eighth. Where were we taking Graham?
I may take him second.
This year.
Over Le'Veon Bell one and then everybody else after that?
I wouldn't blame you.
It's a huge difference maker.
Any receiver. Without even question.
And you know what? In years past, we'd be able to look at other tight ends and say, oh, yeah, he's the one that could break out and be the next Gronk, or he's the next Jimmy Graham. I mean, you can look at Eric Ebron. Maybe he could be that guy, but he really just hasn't shown much progress this year. There's a lot of other tight ends that just are eh.
Right.
And Jimmy Graham is going to be somebody, if he finishes weak, if he keeps playing like he is playing, people are going to remember that, and he's not going to end up being a first-round pick. He'll be a second or a third-round pick, just like Thomas.
Three wide receivers.
You know what's nice is that we're going to be able to talk about this for months.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what, though, the people that are still listening to us that are, you know, our diehard core listeners that listen, whether they're in or they're out, they're curious about this stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into this a little bit more in week 17. And then after week 17, it's all about, you know, a tiny bit of looking back and then a lot of looking ahead.
And talking playoffs. Okay, like NFL playoffs. So three wide receivers for Atlanta scored double figures in fantasy against Pittsburgh. That'd be Harry Douglas at 131 yards, and Devin Hester and Roddy White caught touchdowns. So maybe next week a Kansas City wide receiver scores a touchdown for the first time this season.
Are you going to trust Dwayne Bowe?
No, but
Travis Kelce's a receiver.
Okay.
Right. Kelce's a fine start next week.
Anything else from this game?
I don't think so.
Then let's move on to Washington and the Giants. I think the big fear that you have to have with RG3 is that his offensive line completely caved in the second half, and he ended up being sacked 7 times in this game. I don't know. Do you trust any Redskins right now, next week playing Philly?
It's the old revenge game for Deshaun.
You know, I think if you want to buy into that at this point, he was locked down by Roger Kamari. That's another guy who played this week despite, you know, being hurt. So... He'd be in the conversation. Alfred Morris has been a tragedy the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm so glad I didn't draft him.
I wish I hadn't have drafted him.
He's so touchdown dependent.
12 fantasy points combined in the past 4. You know why I was encouraged about him a little bit? I liked the idea when I thought RG3 was going to start, and then I really downgraded him in my rankings when it was Colt McCoy. The thing that I thought was going to help him this week was Roy Helu was out with the toe injury.
Right.
And he had been doing a better job this season catching the ball. So I thought maybe that would be a role that he would take on. No catches. Chris Thompson has the touchdown. Silas Reed has a long reception.
Catch. Yeah.
Both those guys had more fantasy points than Alfred Morris today.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I mean, but that's the thing. Running backs who don't do anything in the passing game, they're a little bit limited. And it's funny, I really loved Eli Manning coming into the week. I thought he was going to throw a lot. And I said that since the bye week, he had had 6 games, and he had thrown 40 passes or more 5 times. So I thought, for sure, he's going to throw a lot. He only threw 34 times. But still, 250 and 3, so good matchup, and it came true, and I was happy about that for fantasy. So I know I kind of put
myself
out there.
Is Gio a Redskin next year?
Giovanni Bernard?
Yeah. Reuniting with Jay Gruden, who really
wanted
him.
He's not out of his rookie deal.
He's not out of his rookie deal, but they can trade him.
Jay Gruden a Redskin? Yeah,
Jay Gruden Washington next year.
You don't think so? He's a one and done?
All right, guys.
It's between Gruden and RG3, and they're not giving up an RG3.
Pats, Dolphins, 41-13. It was a one-point game at halftime. Patriots scored 24 in the third quarter. Tom Brady's been a little pedestrian recently.
Compared to other quarterbacks, he's fine.
Well, this week he was good compared to other quarterbacks, but he's not tearing. Like, he's not playing as well as Matt Ryan, at least for fantasy. He's not playing as well as Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, Matt Ryan 2 weeks ago was an animal. Nobody played as well as he did.
He didn't play as well this week.
Ryan was good. No, he wasn't as good.
Who do they have next week?
The Jets.
Okay.
In New York.
Never mind.
He should be fine next week. Yeah, he should bounce back. What do you make of Jonas Gray getting 11 carries for 62 yards?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking.
Big game. A big lead. You know, I wouldn't read too much. I still think Blunt's their guy. But it's look, they lose all three guys. It's just so hard to trust them.
Yep. Shane Vereen, 6 carries, 5 yards, did score on a 3-yard run.
He crushed the Jets the last time they played.
3 targets he did. It was a Thursday night game. He got wide open on that first drive, I believe.
And he scored a rushing touchdown.
Going back to Edelman next week?
Yeah, you can't get away from Edelman. Yeah. He was bad against them the last time. That was a Thursday night game, 4 for 44 on 9 targets. He's got 2 huge games in a row. Now, he's done a great job against the Dolphins, but here's his target numbers the last 5, 6 games. Sorry.
It's double digits.
Yeah, he's been 10-plus targets in 4 games in a row. He's got 7-plus catches in 5 of his past 6 games. The Jets' secondary is terrible. So he's a must-start guy the rest of the way. This is one thing that, you know, we went back and forth on. I was probably a little bit more in favor of it. You guys were against it. The Gronk-Edelman pairing.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to work. Mm-hmm. It didn't work when Gronk started to come on.
Fair point.
But now it's starting to work. And I think it also coincides with LaFell, who's got single digits in fantasy points of 4 of his past 5. Okay. LaFell, to me, is a PPR number 3 receiver, at best a number 3 in standard leagues because he's not scoring touchdowns.
It's starting to fall off a little bit. The Dolphins receivers did a pretty nice job today. I have to give credit to them. Wallace's best game of the year, 7 targets, 5 catches.
What a touchdown grab.
104 yards and a nice touchdown grab. Jarvis Landry, 11 targets, 8 for 99. I know there's some people who wish that they could get one more point out of that. One more yard out of that to get an extra
point. Are you seeing what just happened in the opening kickoff of the Dallas-Philadelphia game?
Will they fumble?
No, they kicked the ball. I think it's really windy out. And they tried to kick it long and ended up bouncing at about the 15-yard line. Nobody touched it, live ball, and let's see who recovered it. Lamar Miller, by the way, got the second most carries that he's had all season. Dallas ball, they just recovered the opening kickoff.
Interesting way to start a game. How about Lamar Miller getting 16 carries?
Yeah, second most he's had all year.
Yeah,
and,
what a weird time
only
to get
6 fantasy points. So
Miami tried to change what they did or what they've been doing.
The Patriots' run defense is so good.
And the Patriots don't have a great pass rush, and they sacked Tannehill 4 times, and I think that's just why we don't like Tannehill. His offensive line stinks.
Yeah.
Kansas City 31, Oakland 13. Anything to take away from this game? I mean, we talked about Nile Davis on waivers and Alex Smith and whatever.
I didn't understand the Raiders in the first half because Latavius Murray was averaging 7 yards a carry.
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
And they
feed
had thrown the
more.
Ball so much.
Right.
Derek Carr threw 56 passes, but a lot of them came in the first half.
I don't understand why they didn't stick with Latavius Murray more in the second half.
But you can't go with him next week, right? Not with Buffalo.
Against Buffalo.
Coming.
No.
I don't think you can feel good about it.
James Jones, 8 for 57 and 1, but it's just so hard to trust Raiders passing
targets. He's nowhere near consistent. The problem is you'll see him get these numbers, and then you think he'll go the following week and do well. But he's not consistent. You don't chase it.
Michael Rivera was solid in PPR, 7 catches, 39 yards. He did have 12 targets, so good to see the involvement there, Jamie. But 56 passes.
Yeah.
Hit 5 for 31 at halftime and finished with 7 for 39.
Yeah.
Just total underneath guy. There's not a whole lot to take away here, unfortunately.
You're not starting your Raiders in your championship game.
And Kelsey is still, if you've been getting by with him as your tight end, stick with it.
Yeah, 9 fantasy points each the last 2 weeks. If he didn't have 2 fumbles in those 2 games, he would have been great. I mean, actually, he would have been amazing. He was great, you know. Would have had 11 points. That's amazing for tight ends at this point.
If you played Andrew Luck, you got kind of lucky. 18 fantasy points for Andrew Luck, which at the start of the Sunday night game makes him a top 5 quarterback. Kind of crazy, but Indianapolis wins the division. They beat Houston today. Luck threw for 187 yards. I think the interesting thing really is the running game for Indianapolis. There's just, you know, Trent Richardson just kind of stinks.
But he had 9 carries to Boom Heron's 11.
Yeah, but Heron almost doubled him up on yardage. Heron, 2 catches, 12 yards. He's not quite Ahmad Bradshaw, but what do you think about Dan Heron right now?
I think if you're thin at running back, you stick with him, but this is an example of the type of game. Or maybe it's a little low. It's a little light for what you should expect from him. I think if you expect 80 total yards from Dan Heron, just generally speaking, that's a good start. Now, he's playing Dallas next week. It's a shortish week. No, it's not. It's a good matchup. I thought they play on Saturday. That's not correct. They play on Sunday. I think it's I think he's got a chance.
Look, he is what he is. He's a flex option for you.
DeAndre Hopkins, 5 catches
for 77
yards. He might be able to get
between 90 and 110 total yards.
5 for 77 on 13 targets for Hopkins. Does the Fitzpatrick injury, and now Tom Savage kills him?
It hurts him.
Yeah, he's got Baltimore next week, though. Their secondary is getting worse by the minute.
Yeah.
So
it's Tom Savage at quarterback.
Yeah, but you know what? I can only say this as a Hopkins owner. If I advance in the league where I start Hopkins, I'm not going to get cute. I'll tell you who I'll start over him. I picked up Harry Douglas. I didn't start him this week. I started Hopkins over Douglas. Mm. If Julio Jones is out, that's an easy switch.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many people have that luxury. So if you have Douglas if you have Hopkins or Gordon, who you start next week?
I think it has to be Hopkins.
Let's go do the hop.
Because I don't have any faith in Cleveland.
How about Baltimore and Jacksonville? Interesting game. Ravens struggled. 20-12, the final score.
They just kicked a lot of field goals. They were able to move the ball, and then they just had to end up settling for field goals.
Oh, DeMarco Murray, quite good. Just missing a touchdown there.
He'll get it on the next play.
Toby Gerhardt was okay. 13 for 54.
Do you really start him in week 16 on Thursday night against the Tennessee Titans, who cannot stop the run?
Oh, man.
They stopped the run this week until the
Ivory
very
got
end.
A touchdown. Yeah. Johnson had a long run. Still happens. No
he might be
happens,
able to score on them.
If he gets 15 carries, he'll probably be a top 25.
Dan Heron or Toby Gerhardt next week?
I think I got to go Heron.
Matt Asiata or Toby Gerhardt
next week? I think I might go Gerhardt.
Yeah.
Touchdown, DeMarco. We're off and running in the bonanza in Philadelphia.
Any concerns about Justin Forsett's bad game?
Look, it costs people. There's your second running back, Jamaal Charles and Justin Forsett.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This was just a weird game for Baltimore. The only guy who really did well was Owen Daniels.
That's it. Steve Smith, 5 targets, 5 catches, 37 yards. Baltimore won a game unconventionally, which I think good teams have to learn to do. And so I think this tells you just how good Baltimore is. And honestly, lesser teams would have lost to Jacksonville in the spot. And if they were taking on a better team than Jacksonville, they would have gotten the doors blown off them. Almost any other team. They could have played almost any other team.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Flacco threw 30 times. If they were chasing points, he would have thrown 50 times, and those guys would have had
Yeah, but that numbers. Doesn't mean that they were going to win. We've seen Flacco throw
I'm not talking about them winning. Yeah, that's
still
fair point,
stunk.
But
Buffalo 21, Green Bay 13. Big win for the Bills. Big loss for the Packers with the Detroit winning. Detroit's in first place now in that division, but they play in Week 17. Here's what you need to know if you didn't see it. Jordy Nelson
That's
crushed.
Your Week 17 flex game, by the way. That'll end up being
Sunday night?
Yeah, in Week 17.
Jordy Nelson crushed Nelson owners and Rodgers owners by dropping 2 touchdown passes.
One was, I know the one in the end zone.
One was definitely
hands,
a touchdown.
The one, it appeared like it could have been deflected.
On the deep ball?
No, not deep ball. The one in the end zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looked like
But
it
either way, he left a lot of fantasy production on the field.
The deep ball on the when they were inside their 10.
Went right
that
off
was huge.
Hands.
Yeah.
And finished with 5 catches for 55 yards. And Aaron Rodgers finished with a total dud, 185 yards. First game this season without a touchdown.
17 of 42 passing.
How about Peyton Manning, no touchdowns last week. Aaron Rodgers, no touchdowns this week.
I said it on our show. The fantasy MVP this year in the playoffs is the Bills' defense. Not because people played them, because they eliminated Peyton Manning, if you were playing against Peyton Manning, and they eliminated Aaron Rodgers. Imagine if you were the 6th seed, or the whatever, however, whoever, whatever it was. You're in the playoffs. You got to play the Peyton Manning owner in round one. Oh my gosh, I just won because Peyton Manning was terrible. Oh, I got to face Aaron Rodgers now. Oh my God, I won because Aaron Rodgers was terrible.
It's your world.
It could happen.
Yep.
It could easily have happened.
Lacy was, you know, Lacy looked really good.
He looked fine.
Second he went out there, he looked good. And Starks only got four carries.
This is not, look, think about how many times we've been, is he injured, is he not injured, is he going to play, is he not going to play. It happened a lot this week. DeSean Jackson played terrible. Torrey Smith played terrible. Rashad Jennings played terrible last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but Lacy at least was kind of designated as probable. The reports were pretty good.
So was Torrey and DeSean.
Yeah, Torrey Smith was. You're right.
And Rashad Jennings wasn't even on the injury report.
Eesh, jeez.
But there's a difference between superstar talent
and
good to mediocre talent.
Yeah. And for the Bills, anything, guys? Pretty horrible fantasy.
Fred Jackson had a lot of production, 20 carries, 71 yards. They obviously feel good about where he's at health-wise. Then he also had six targets to tie for the team lead, led the team in catches with three, and 27 yards off of those receptions. Very disappointed in Sammy Watkins. He did have six targets, but only one 28-yard catch. That was it for him. And I think that's just how game flow went. That's how it ended up going. Buffalo stayed competitive to the point where Kyler didn't have to throw a whole lot. He only had 27 pass attempts. He wasn't very good on those 27 pass attempts. And they were able to lean on the run a little bit. They had a defensive score or a special team score, one or the other. Why am I blanking on whether or not it was a defensive?
It was a punt return. Oh, okay, you're right.
It was a punt return for a touchdown, so that kept the offense off the field in the first half.
And he threw an interception that was targeted for Sammy Watkins where he underthrew him. It may have been a big play. Would have helped both guys out significantly.
Yep.
That's my concern for them next week is, are they going to be in a similar situation where their run game, their defense is doing such a good job? Do they have Orton throwing the ball out?
Look at what they're doing on Sunday Night Football. They have a clock, Eagles time to next play, so you can see how fast they actually move. And then they just got flagged for a false start going 17.5 seconds on their very first play.
All right, cool. Carolina had the ball for 37 minutes and 31 seconds, 15 more minutes than Tampa Bay in the victory over the Buccaneers in a pretty close game. And Jonathan Stewart got 22 carries but could not really, you know, bring it home. Only 73 yards.
I think it's the first time he's ever first time ever he's had more than 20 carries in a game and didn't have not just 10 but like 12 or 13 fantasy points or more.
So, who's buying Doug Martin?
He had one nice run. It was a 63-yard run.
Yeah, you know, but
take
this
it away,
is,
and he had 13
what,
for 33. Two of three
games where he's played well, right?
And in that other game, it was really just one run. It was his touchdown run.
Right.
I mean, he didn't have like a great average.
So I think you sort of look at it as, okay, if you're the Frank Gore owner who's been playing Gore, everybody played Gore 2 weeks ago against the Raiders, and so there are people that, you know, still made it into their playoffs and haven't had the chance to, you know, advance or I'm sorry, they advanced and don't have a running back. If Charles is hurt and you can't get Davis, if you don't have Andre Williams in a deeper league and Rashad Jennings is out.
But what running back has done well, like really well against Green Bay lately? Steven Jackson scored the touchdown, but he didn't have a big game.
No, but I think you're buying into just workload for Martin. I'm not talking about, you know, he's not going to be
flexing.
I'm not
going to be a top 20 guy.
Right, right.
But top 30?
Sure. Vincent Jackson, once again, had a lot of yards, 6 for 7. I don't know if that's a lot, but he led the team in yards. Mike Evans, 2 for 13 and a touchdown. So Evans, Calvin Benjamin, Sammy Watkins are throwing in like some good performances with some okay performances with some stinkers lately.
Watkins has had more stinkers than you.
Yeah, Watkins has really just had the one big one last week more recently. Evans is getting in the end zone, and then, you know, Calvin's been kind of up and down.
That's a sign of a great player, though, that no matter what.
Are they all must starts? I don't think you can say that about Watkins, though.
I'd love the matchup for him next week at Oakland.
For Sammy Watkins? I don't think he's a must start. He's been, look, he's one game of his last five.
Yeah. It's tough to trust him. It's just a good matchup for him. It is on the road. I don't know if I love him, I guess. I do like that. I like that Evans and Benjamin are still getting tons of targets.
Is Derek Anderson fantasy viable against Cleveland?
No, because even in the blowout, they still don't give up numbers to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now, the one caveat would be is Joe Hayden's shoulder.
Right. He left the game.
Which changes the complexion of their secondary now that they're eliminated.
See, I wonder if Cincinnati didn't have to throw. They built such a big lead.
But will Carolina?
How does Jonathan Stewart do? It'll come down to him.
Well,
if Jonathan Stewart plays like he's supposed to, and if D'Angelo Williams isn't around,
all right, Alex
then,
Smith,
yeah, Derek Anderson might not do much. I can be talked into Anderson.
I'll take Smith.
I think what's important to note is that Anderson has not hurt the offense and the pass catchers, Olsen and Benjamin, obviously, specifically, when he's played. Mm-hmm. You can feel good about your...
What did Benjamin finish with?
104 yards or something like that.
That's great.
Yeah, on 13 targets. So we go to the blowout in Cleveland, 31-0, was it? 30-0? 30-0, Bengals over Browns. Johnny Manziel, 80 yards on 18 passes.
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel.
No fantasy points.
Is he going to hurt everybody, though? Does he make Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell, Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron completely hands-off?
Unless he morphs into a capable passer within the next 7 days, this is assuming he's still the starter there.
He'll still be the starter.
The answer is yes. The answer is 100% yes. He did settle down in the second half, played a little bit better, but... Boy, oh boy, was he a mess.
I just couldn't believe how bad his arm looked.
Right. He did a great job of, like, escaping trouble in the pocket, and then he'd throw, and it looked like my kid throwing.
And my your daughter.
Probably more my daughter than my son, because my son can throw it a little.
And A.J. Green had
it
a bad game.
It was so surprising.
You know, it's so funny. If you missed it, A.J. Green had a bad game, 5 catches, 49 yards, but Joe Hayden got hurt fairly early in the game, and Green still couldn't do anything.
I think that had to do with the score, though.
I don't. I mean, he had 11 targets. He got an end zone target. Dalton made a bad pass. He had him in the end zone on like a post route, and he threw it to the wrong shoulder.
Right. And it should have been an interception.
Should have been.
I wonder, though, how many of those 11 targets were early in the game. Because when they were up, it was just all Geo.
What does it matter, though? I mean.
Because when Hayden was still playing.
Oh, so you're saying he got
Buster Screen played well. Buster Screen played well. I wonder, though, if it was a more competitive game where those 11 targets would have been a little bit more meaningful when Hayden was out of there.
Are you worried about Green next week against Denver?
No.
Okay.
Not to the same level I was this week.
Okay, certainly. That's a matchup that I just like. I know you never sit your studs, but that's probably when else. That's like one matchup. It's almost set in stone. I'm just not starting A.J. Green against Joe Hayden. He really owns him.
Four games. It's the Browns. You could just say the Browns because today it really wasn't Hayden per se. The Browns just have done a good job of taking away A.J. Green.
I'm telling you, part of it had to do with the fact that Andy Dalton attempted 24 passes.
Yeah, but still, if you would have said before
they didn't
the game,
need to throw.
We talked about this on
Saturday
night.
And they went after him.
But we talked about this on Saturday night, though. We were hoping for a T.Y. Hilton-type target.
He had 11.
If you were to say 11 targets before the game.
Oh, I would have said, you know, 8
full
100. Right.
So this is now multiple target games against the Browns, and he just doesn't produce.
Jets 16, Titans 11. They almost pulled off an incredible miracle play at the end, the Titans.
The Titans did.
But Delanie Walker, selfishly, did not lateral the ball at the 10-yard line. They might have been
able
to.
Well, he had, what'd you say, it was... you thought McCluster was in the shot?
He had McCluster behind him, so if he had stopped about 3 yards or 4 yards before he actually did stop.
I checked the CBSSports.com database, and Delanie Walker was playing against Dexter McCluster in his fantasy game. So he decided he was going to run out of bounds and didn't want to give him the fantasy production.
Delanie Walker plays on CBSSports.com, huh? Good for him.
Everybody does.
Chris Johnson had entered the game, as I told everybody throughout the week, at least 17 touches. Each of his last two games. This week, he only had 10 touches against his former team. 55 yards. No
touchdown. He set up the game-winning touchdown.
He set up the game-winning touchdown, and then they pulled
him. Or game-sealing touchdown.
Sure. There was a late run that he had, 37-yard run, that really helped him get to 55 yards, to be honest with you. And then instead of giving him the token touchdown against his former team, they put in Chris Ivory. And then there was a flag. And then there was another running back in. And then Chris Ivory couldn't get it in. And the Titans, there was a defensive pass interference call in the end zone.
Yeah,
they had 6 hours to try and put Chris Johnson back on the field, and the Jets' coaches didn't do it. So we were dead wrong thinking that they would.
Percy Harvin played, didn't have a catch. Eric Decker had 7 for
and then
100.
Ivory scored on an edge run that Chris Johnson could have scored on.
It probably goes to show you how much they just don't like Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Eric Decker, 7 carries, 100 yards.
How about 7 catches?
No.
He had 7 carries for 100 yards? Very Percy Harvin-esque. Harvin had 10 total yards.
What happened here with Sean Green getting 16 carries and Bishop Sankey
getting
3?
Because Sankey stinks. I don't think he got
Green's
hurt.
Green's awesome.
Well, Listen, the 3.1 rushing.
I saw McCluster
doing
a lot of
work.
How many carries did he get?
He had 5 for 15 and 2 catches for 8 yards. They don't have a running back that's any good.
We had 200-yard receivers in this game. Decker and Nate Washington. Do either of them matter to you?
Well, I don't think you're starting Decker next week against either the Patriots guys, even what the Dolphins did this week.
And I don't think you're starting Nate Washington with Charlie Whitehurst as his quarterback.
Okay, then.
Especially on a short week.
Though, Denver 22 and San Diego 10. Keenan Allen hurt. Phillip Rivers threw some late interceptions.
We don't know the extent of the Allen injury, but it looked bad right when it happened.
It looked bad right when it happened. It looked a little bit better like right after it happened, but mm-hmm. it still was bad.
Did he come back in the game at all or no?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I don't think he did.
Let me check. When do you think it happened?
It happened in the first half, for
okay,
sure.
So let me see if he had any second half numbers.
Okay.
Go ahead and talk about the Broncos.
Well, I just don't know what to expect from them anymore. They threw 22 passes. Brock Osweiler threw 2 and Peyton Manning threw 20. I don't really think it's working that well. If you look at their offensive output lately, they're certainly capable of scoring more than 22 points in a game. Now, red zone inefficiency was a big part of that, but
he was carded. He had 8 targets for 3 catches, 18 yards in the first half, did not come back.
I don't know. We'll talk plenty about the Broncos.
It's an ankle.
And you're not dropping any Broncos or anything like that. C.J. Anderson had 29 carries. He's going to fall apart, but luckily there's only 2 games left. And then the Chargers, who do they have next week?
They have San Francisco.
On Saturday.
I'm not sure who I
trust. On CBS.
Well, Ryan Matthews is probably going to be limited or not play, so you're not going to trust Donald Brown or Brandon Oliver. Rivers stinks right now. Can't trust him. Malcolm Floyd, not going to trust him. Royal, I think, got hurt in that game, too.
This was such a nothing game.
Gates is the only guy you start.
Gates is the only guy.
That was a nothing game. That was such a mismatch.
Who gets the final wild card spot in the AFC?
I think it could be two.
I think it's Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
You have to assume.
Well, Pittsburgh wins the division. Cincinnati might get it.
Baltimore can win the division, too.
Pittsburgh will have to lose. Both of them have very favorable
Kansas
schedules.
Kansas City has a tough schedule.
So we're all under
Cincinnati
the assumption that three teams from the AFC North get in. Again, for the second time.
Unless Kansas City can sneak in.
Yeah, I think
but it'll
so.
Take Cincinnati losing and Kansas City.
Kansas City's got to beat Pittsburgh next week.
They've got to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and then they've got San Diego at home in week 17. It's not going to be.
Dolphins are what, 7-7?
Dolphins 7-7. They're done. Houston's
well,
done.
They're going to go 9-7, I think. So I think they have a shot. But yeah, I'm gonna say 3 AFC North teams get in.
I agree. I think the tie for Cincinnati really is
going to be huge for them. It might be huge for Carolina too, over on the other side.
Yep.
Which means you're probably looking at Cincinnati at Indianapolis, in the wild card round, and then Baltimore at Pittsburgh, or potentially Pittsburgh at Baltimore. That's a playoff game in the first round. That's going to be great.
Got to wrap it up, guys. So we'll condense 2 games into one. Seahawks Niners 17-7. Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch had a good game. That was about it. And the Vikings gave a real challenge to the Lions, and Calvin Johnson was a total dud. 16-14, the final score there. Just very low-scoring games, and Fantasy Week 15 was not a good one. So final thoughts on the Vikings, the Lions, the Seahawks, and the 49ers.
49ers are crud at this point.
There's nobody. San Diego's defense, their secondary is just not great, but
how can you feel good about starting anybody catching passes?
Maybe
from Colin
Bolden
Kaepernick
at this point, but that's it.
I wonder if the Niners actually think about putting Blaine Gabbert in there.
No. After they paid him, there's no chance they would.
Well, listen, there's something very wrong there.
They got to have
There is something
they get
very
him to,
wrong. He's missing targets,
yeah,
and
but
he's been terrible.
They
got
to get him to get
months.
Right games to go into the offseason feeling good about himself.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Well, today's podcast was brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily design your own professional website or online portfolio, and it's redesigned with the Squarespace 7 interface. It's got integration with Google Images, with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, this feature called Cover Pages you have to check out, and the customer support team if you need any help. It's 24/7. It's great. Very, very easy to use, but very helpful customer support if you need it. Oh, by the way, it starts at $8 a month, and you're going to get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So get started right now. You don't need a credit card to get started. Build your website today and use our offer code FUN, F-U-N. You're going to get 10% off, and you'll be supporting our show. So thank you to Squarespace for supporting our podcast. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere. Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. Thanks so much for listening. Back on Tuesday with the Waiver Wire. Adios.
Later.
Bye.